thank you all for being here with us today, giving up your Thursday afternoon to participate in your planning and zoning process. Let me assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on a given application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. And speaking of the rules of the commission, please allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel to my right and your left, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Chairman Wheatley. As the chairman stated, this is the time for the public hearing scheduled before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, as shown on this afternoon's agenda. These proceedings, are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. The proceedings are also being simultaneously broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Sussex County and its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, source of income, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias or stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into account by Sussex County in its deliberations. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present and everyone participating virtually is invited to stay throughout the commission's meeting to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. Everyone in attendance or participating virtually must conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please do not distract from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the directions of the chairman. For those of us here in this room, if you have a telephone or similar device, we ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and then the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that has been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission, and the applicant may present any exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. For testimony from people here in this room, supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that they identify themselves so that they can speak first. We will start with folks present in this room, and then we'll ask to hear from people participating remotely through the call-in number. For those of you here on the premises who wish to speak, we ask that you come to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We just need the name and place of residence from anyone speaking on the phone. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. If there's more than one witness in favor of or in opposition to an application, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. Please understand that it is the quality of the testimony, not the quantity of it, that is persuasive. The chairman has the authority to set reasonable time limits on the on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone when that testimony is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. No direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Also, as you may have noticed, we do have a new sound system and new microphones in the room, and we're all learning how to use those, and so far I think I'm the worst offender at not pushing the button to speak. But if you do come to the podium to speak, we ask that you press the button on the base of the microphone, and there should be a red icon that lights up along with a red ring around the top of the microphone to ensure that it's being recorded and picked up through the microphone and through the speakers. Now, at the conclusion of the hearing on each application, the commission may take action on the application or defer it until a later date. Once the record is closed, the commission, on my advice, will not read or respond substantively to any mail, email, or other conversations or communications about the application. The commission's decision will be based solely on the record from the public hearing. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. We thank you. Our first public hearing is conditional use number 2353, Sussex CSG2 LLC.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a solar farm to be located on a 14.64 acre portion of a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, containing 28.09 acres more or less. The properties are lying on the south side of Gumtree Road, which is Sussex County Route 405, the west side of DuPont Boulevard, which is Route 113, and the north side of Blueberry Lane, which is Sussex County Route 402. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 433, Map 6, Parcels 18.00, 20.00, and 26.00. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibits booklet, which includes a wetland and watercourse investigation report. We also have a copy of the staff analysis. We have a copy of the DelDOT service level evaluation response. And we also have a response received from the Delaware Division of Fish and Wildlife. And I would note that we have received zero comments. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. The chair recognizes Mr. Fuquay.
Did I push the right thing?
Yep, yes. You're lit up.
That's amazing. For the record, I'm Jim Fuquay. I represent the applicant, and I realize things have been going very smoothly today, and I'd like to keep it that way, but it's me, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to. With me is Kieran Seo. He's representing the applicant, and Alan Dechter of Pannoni Associates. Both this application and the next application are applications for solar array fields, and they're being filed by basically the same applicant. So with the commission's approval, the comments I make on this application, I want to incorporate into the second application rather than repeat a lot of the more basic kind of stuff.
Granted.
Thank you. So far, so good. There was an exhibit booklet submitted for the record that contains information about the application. I want to give a little brief introduction, which really applies to both these applications. As I said, both this applicant and the next applicant are actually owned by a company called Dimension Renewable Energy. And they are a national company that focus on community solar facilities and battery storage development. Dimension operates many community facilities throughout the country. I was first contacted by them in actually October of 2021. And these two solar facility conditional use applications were actually filed in February 2022, so it was over 15 months ago. So at the time that I was contacted by them, I had to educate myself, number one, about the Delaware law on the community solar facilities, how they operate, the purpose of the law, because I didn't know anything about it, and I believe at that time the commission didn't really know anything about it. Needless to say, a lot has changed in 15 months. I believe from my count, I think you've had 8 or 9 or maybe 10 solar array field applications, and that has resulted in from the conditions you were doing, the development of an ordinance to make a common type of conditions and things of that nature, and that ordinance actually was adopted, I think, about a week or 10 days ago. So you're familiar with a lot of the background. I'm not going to go into the thing about the Delaware law and all that. I'm going to try to stay very specific and focus on these sites and the particulars of these sites. Now, from there, I would get right into the application, but a matter came up, and this honestly just came up within the last hour or two. The first application, 2353, and this is a site near Frankfurt. If you look at the application, and if you look at the staff analysis, it's basically talking about a parcel of land that's about 55 acres in size, and the actual conditional use portion of that is about 28 acres. Like I said, a couple of hours ago, I was looking at the advertisement, and that seems to say that the site is 28 acres, and the conditional use section is 14 acres. So, and I don't know where those numbers came from. I believe maybe my application is 3 different parcels, and I think maybe they're just referring to one of the parcels that we applied for. I'm not sure. And I would have talked to Vince or to Jamie about this earlier if I had seen this earlier.
Okay.
What I'd like to propose is, let me make my presentation on this. If the staff determines that this hearing should be re-advertised, it can be re-advertised. I would ask that it be re-advertised as quickly as possible. And I will appear at that hearing and either say nothing,
yeah,
if there is no one interested, or I will make my presentation again. And again, if you determine that it should be re-advertised, if you could do that immediately for the county council, I'd like to keep the county council date, which is June 6th. So we still have time next week if it could be advertised. If that's okay with the commission, I'll proceed with the application.
Sure. Yeah,
I think that makes sense. We'll take it under advisement.
Yeah, we'll take it under advisement. We'll see.
I think it was just an error. It's been advertised. I'm just not sure if you want to clean up the advertisement or make it.
And just for the record, was the correct property posted? I mean, whoever would know on that.
Yeah, I think the address and everything seems to be right in order. It's the right roads. It's just that I think it was just one of the three parcels.
Else, yeah.
It's the acreage numbers. And
okay.
The correct parcels are there. It's the acreage total.
Okay. That's what I said. I didn't even have time to figure out what happened.
Yeah.
Okay, so all the people who would have been notified have been notified, no matter what.
That's correct, because we've used the total acreage of the parcels, but there's another number in there. There's two acreage totals. But we've done the correct notification, but I'll confirm while Mr. Fuqua is presenting and I can provide an update.
Yeah, if you can, that's what I said, yeah. If you can just figure that out. Okay, thank you. Okay, so as to conditional use 2353, as I was saying, this involves three different tax map parcels. It contains a total of approximately 54 acres of land, and it's owned by Frankfurt Center LLC. And that would be the on the board, the three parcels that you can see outlined in red. The land's located just west of Frankfurt. It has road frontage on the south side of Gumtree Road, which is to the north, the west side of 113, and the north side of Blueberry Lane. The applicant is proposing to be leasing approximately 29.1 acres of the 54-acre parcel. And the leased land would be the western portion of the property. And Jamie, if you can put up the actual site plan. Alan, did you submit that separately this morning? Oh, okay. Next one. There it is. So there's the three parcels. The conditional use section, again, is to the left or to the west. The lease term would be a 25-year lease with 2 5-year options to extend the lease. So it'd be a maximum of 35 years. The conditional use area there, it borders the remainder of the site to the north and the east. To the west, there is a tax ditch right away and a Delmarva power easement. And to the south, there are several residential properties. A portion of the 54-acre parcel is zoned C1. That would be the portion that is within, it's approximately 500 feet of Route 113. The remainder of the site is owned AR1, and all of the conditional use section is in the AR1 portion of the site. Under the comprehensive plan's future land use map, the commercial zoned land is designated as being commercial, and the AR land is part town center and part developing area. And the conditional use section is within the town center and the developing area designations. As the commission has noted on other community solar applications, and as is stated in the recently adopted solar ordinance, in the comp plan, goal 7.3 of the plan encourages the use of renewable energy options, such as the community solar facilities being proposed. Now, as to the site plan, the entrance would be from Gumtree Road, which is the road to the north. The entrance will be designed and constructed
per DLDOT requirements. There'll be a gravel access road that extends along the western side of the solar array fields. There would be one unlit sign at the entrance, not exceeding 32 square feet. DLDOT indicated in its service level evaluation response that traffic impact would be diminutive and no further studies would be required. It's anticipated that after the construction of the facility, traffic would be limited to biannual equipment inspections, routine property maintenance and grass cutting, and then equipment repair if and when required. There's no on-site employees, and the equipment is monitored remotely. The solar array field itself would have a 7-foot security fence around the perimeter. There would be an emergency key box at the entrance for emergency responders. The solar arrays will be ground-mounted flex-track solar panels. Other equipment consists of inverters and transformers, which are located on two separate equipment pads. The solar grounds themselves would be seeded with a solar pollinator seed mix, which is a slow-growing, environmentally friendly ground cover. The southern boundary of the solar field would have landscaped buffers. This is down in the area where the residences are located. The buffers are basically would be 30 feet wide. There is a section where the 30-foot buffer kind of slims down to about a 15-foot buffer. There's three homes, I believe, located along that area there. The actual access road to the homes is actually on our property or the property being leased. And that's where the buffer would be. There is an operation and maintenance plan in the exhibit book about how maintenance and things of that nature are taken care of. The maintenance of the grounds here would be conventional mowing and trimming, other than I know in some other applications, I believe there was a goats or sheep or something involved, but there's no animals involved in this. The only sound associated with the operation is very minimal. It's a low hum from the inverters. There was a glare analysis that predicted no potential glare resulting from the panels. And there are no odors, dust, smoke, heat, or things of that nature associated with the operation. Stormwater management would comply with state and county requirements. There's no sewer or water impacts, period. The solar facility is anticipated to generate 7.62 gigawatt hours of electricity, which is the equivalent of approximately enough power annually for 850 homes. The facility would actually connect to the Delmarva Power grid at a location near the entrance on Gumtree Road. It's anticipated that the productive life of the facility would be about 30 to 35 years, which would correspond to the lease term. There is a copy of a decommissioning plan in the exhibit book that explains that upon the expiration of the lease or the earlier termination of the use, all equipment and materials would be removed from the site and properly disposed of, and the site would be returned to basically its current condition. The plan also provides for a security in the form of a decommissioning bond to cover the cost of restoration if necessary. And the estimated cost in terms of the security bond will be provided as part of the final site plan review, which would be reviewed by the commission at that time. And lastly, the proposed facility is authorized by and subject to the laws of the state of Delaware, specifically Title 26 of the Delaware Code and that was the amendment to the law regulating community-owned energy generating facilities and renewable energy. And again, that will be operated in compliance with that statute. I will submit to you proposed findings and conditions, that would conclude my presentation other than any questions you may have.
All right, sir. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Mears.
No questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Ms. Wingate.
I just have one question about the fence. I was trying to figure it out on the map. Is it shown? Are you showing putting the fence around the perimeter?
I'm sorry, around the?
The fence. Are you showing putting the fence around the perimeter of the property,
yes,
the entire perimeter?
Yes, sir.
And what kind of fence would that be? I understand it's 70 feet tall. You said, would it be like a chain link, or what do you?
Yeah, I think it would be a chain link type of fence,
okay,
security fence.
Okay.
I think 7 foot was what I've seen on some other applications that were done, so I thought that would be appropriate. And again, the emergency access at the gate.
Okay, that's all I had. Thank you.
Ms. Hoy Stevenson.
No questions.
Okay. Staff, any questions? Mr. Whitehouse.
No questions, Mr. Chairman. To the earlier question about noticing, we've sent it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Approximately 25, 26 notifications. They appear to be neighboring properties, but I believe with the timing and noticing of the application, I believe we have sufficient time to re-notice and send out new postcards ahead of the county council. So I do believe we can still
keep that date
correct before we get to county council. So, yeah.
Right. We'll look at that so we can kind of cure it with the county council,
okay,
particularly because it identified all the parcel numbers and everything. So.
Yeah, sure. Any questions?
No.
The applicant? All right, then. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2353, Sussex CSG2 LLC? Is anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2353? Operator, is there anyone standing by electronically who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to conditional use number 2353, Sussex CSG2 LLC?
If there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. We have Ashley on the line. Ashley, your line is open.
Hi, my name is Ashley. I'm an employee with Sussex County, just testing the line.
We hear you loud and clear, Ashley. Thank you very much. Operator, is there anyone else standing by?
If there is anyone else on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. At this time, there is currently no one on the line to speak.
All right, thank you. Commissioners, any further questions? All right, then, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the day to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Our next